Evening, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and if you're using a pew Bible, you can turn to page 964. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read through chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Again, that's 964 in the pew Bible. Give attention to the reading of God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. All right, cool. Awesome. Just be true to yourself. Just be true to yourself. I think be true to yourself. Have you ever heard that? I think you have. Just be true to yourself. It sums up just about every Disney movie, at least of old, that I saw growing up, okay? Just be true to yourself. The truth is that saying it comes from Shakespeare. To thine own self be true. It's a little bit different, actually, now that I think about it. But to thine own self be true. It's a line from Act 1, Scene 3 of Shakespeare's play Hamlet. It's spoken by King Claudius's chief minister, Polonius, as part of a speech where he's talking to his son about how to act when he's off at university. Long before that, in classic antiquity, one of the high priestesses known as the Oracle of Delphi, love Greek history, it's fascinating stuff, but she put it, this oracle put it like this: know thyself. So like antiquity, right, one of the worst cultural sins that we can commit today is to be inauthentic, to not be true to oneself. To not be true to yourself is to lose yourself today. A person who's found themselves is one who's true to self, wherever that leads, whatever that means. And that is entirely left up to the individual to decide. And one of the ways that we see this played out in our lives is when we or someone we know is going through great hardship. Now, it could be something as difficult and serious as cancer or a divorce. It can be a sick child, a very, very serious illness. It can be job loss. It can be mounds and mounds and mounds of stress causing anxiety and other things, other health issues. And there's one lie that we either say to ourselves, we'll tell this lie to ourselves in those moments, or it's the lie that we will tell other people. It's a total lie. So this morning, I'm gonna leave you hanging on that. You're going to find out in a minute. This morning, I want to talk openly about this lie that we all believe, and then I want us to hear the truth that we refuse to believe. So I want to consider these two points this morning: the lie we tell ourselves and the truth that we refuse to believe. Two things this evening, not this morning, I'm sorry. It looks like morning. Why does it look the same? It's not even dark out yet. I mean, okay, daylight savings. The lie we tell ourselves, right? There is a lie that we tell ourselves. Well, what's the lie that we tell ourselves? Now, this is captured often in Disney. Yes, I'm picking on Disney. I actually love Disneyland. I'm not hating on it unintentionally. I'm intentionally hating on it unintentionally. How about that? But Disney would have us, and other things, right, would have us be counselors who tell other people who are experiencing hard times and going through the hard things that I mentioned a second ago, God will never give you more than you can handle. That is the messaging. And it sounds like this, right? If you just believe, that is definitely a Disney message. Or SeaWorld. Or if you put enough faith in yourself, if you just believe in yourself, or if you discover who you were really meant to be, or if you change who you want to be, you'll overcome and you can get through anything. Whatever life throws at you, you'll get through it. And we believe this lie. This is the lie we tell ourselves over and over and over again. It's so ingrained in our culture. It's so ingrained in us. So have you ever heard somebody tell you that lie before? Have you ever told it to somebody? Well, probably, at some point, some way or another, maybe on accident, when you're struggling to find words of comfort to somebody who is going through a really hard time. God will never give you more than you can handle, right? Maybe we said it that way. We put a holy stamp on it, holy stamp of approval. But let's not take my word for it, okay? Let's look at what Scripture says. Let's look at what the Bible says about this. So this letter, 2 Corinthians, it is sent and read at a time when Paul's relationship as an apostle, as the one who actually planted this church in Corinth, was very, very strained. Times were tense. There are adversaries or intruders that have come along and who have made it their message to discredit Paul, to say bad things about him, to make themselves look good, and the people in this church are now questioning, and they're saying to themselves, they're wondering, is Paul, the Apostle Paul, who lives in weakness, really someone who has the authority and the power of Jesus, the Almighty? They're wondering that question. Because when they look at who's telling these lies, they see power, they see success, they see glamour, credibility. In all their interactions with Paul, Paul notes this later in the letter, it's interesting. They're weak, right? When he comes in person, he's not this pompous, you know, everything that Paul was cracked up to be. He comes across very weak, not powerful, not credible or successful in all the ways that they imagine in their own estimation, in their own opinion and calculation. Their eyes still believe that God will never give you more than you can handle. And so he writes this, read with me now again, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we're afflicted, It's for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Now, I wanted to reread that because I wanted you to notice something. Did you notice how many times he says words that are unfamiliar to us? What are those unfamiliar words? Anybody want to take a guess? I don't really want to put you on the spot. It's okay. But if you want to. Unfamiliar words. There it is, the S word. Who said it? Go ahead, say it louder. Suffering, right? The other one is, it starts with an A. Affliction, right? These are words that are so distant, so foreign to our vocabulary, especially right now. And they were in Corinth too. Suffering, affliction. They're non-existent in our daily chatter, right? We try to do everything we can to avoid it, right? Cemeteries and all that don't exist anymore, right? We don't want to talk about the hard things. Someone asks, how are you? And how do we usually respond? I'm fine. I'm good. Never better, right? How often do you hear from somebody, you don't usually hear this, but I'm like, how often would you hear, when you ask, how are you doing? Oh yeah, I'm a train wreck. I'm doing terrible. My truck broke down. My dog died. My wife left me. And I'm going through, a lot of pain in my hip. Like, how many times is that like part of, the response? And all the details of someone's life just out there. And it's like, oh, actually, I didn't mean to get in that conversation with you. And oh, that's uglier than I anticipated. No, we put the facade on, right? No, I'm good. Never better. Suffering is not part of our daily vocabulary. These words that Paul says are uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable words because success and strength and power are what we hunger for inside and what we want to be part of and what we want to portray to other people. Even in coming here to preach this evening, the second time, I kind of stressed over what to preach on. I had not just 2 hours to preach, but 4 hours. So I had 2 whole extra hours to worry about what to preach about. And part of that worry is, because of that, short amount of time. But the other part of the worry, the stress, is because inside of me, and I want to propose, consider it, but I propose it's something that's inside of each one of us if we are honest and we look at ourselves inside. It's not really fun to do. That there's this insatiable desire that we have where we want to impress, right? We want to win approval. We want to be noticed or heard or seen, and we just need to have it. Inevitably, on our worst days, we each crave to be worshiped. We either worship ourselves like narcissists, or we call on others to, hey, notice me, right? Look what I'm doing. And so we want others to worship us, trying to take God's place. But Paul keeps saying affliction, suffering, words foreign. This is how deeply seated the lie that we tell ourselves is. And so we need Paul's emphatic emphasis over and over and over again to remind us of this deep-seated lie and to challenge it, to push it away. Now, the best word that I can think of to capture the sense of affliction that Paul seems to have in mind that he's describing here is the word pressure. Pressure. It's the feeling of enormous pressure you might get when you're overwhelmed with so many responsibilities. Maybe they've just piled up and you're running out of time. Maybe you've been put on the spot. You have a work deadline coming up, or if you're a student, you have a paper that's due or a series of papers that are due all at one time, and you have several other commitments going on at the same time, and you're just swarmed, and you have family and life and work and just all of these and you feel overwhelmed, and you're under